The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Good morning, and happy to preach to you from a series of benedictions that are found usually at the end or in the second last chapter to the end of one of the letters in the New Testament. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the one in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And it begins like this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the new covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about being equipped and equipped to do what pleases God. So today we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16 and a number of other verses to talk about the fact that we as Christians ought to be marked, ought to be different from many, many people in the world, because we can be at peace in an anxious and an angry world. In the first service, I shared that when I was doing some teaching in the country of Ghana, I went there 6 times to teach on leadership, and was wonderful to be there and to enjoy the fellowship of African Christians in a way that I hadn't had been in Asia and other parts, but not been in African churches or with African leaders. One of the things that I learned was it was very common to do something like this. The leader or the preacher would say, God is good, and then the response would be from the congregation, all the time. And then the leader would say, all the time, and the congregation would say, God is good. How many of you have seen or heard that done? I see your hands. I knew there would be some. So let's try it, okay? God is good.
All the time.
Okay? And girls in the front, hold it. You didn't. Okay, we're saying you got to say this with us, okay? Remember I was talking about singing with us? Okay, I'm going to say God is good, and you say all the time. Everybody's saying it, okay? Don't hide. They're not looking at you. And then when I say all the time, you say God is good. Okay? Ready? Here we go. Everybody's going to do it. You got to do it with us. God is good.
All the time.
We need that reminder. We need that reminder because it's not easy to be people of peace in a world that's angry and anxious. David French, who has a podcast and a written email that goes out every day, was quoting a book that was recently published called Broken News. And in it, he said, there's so much anger in our culture today, and you can't hate something you aren't afraid of. We are an angry people because we are a frightened people. Politicians, popular culture, the news media, and leaders of major institutions speak in a language of anxiety. And they did so long before our now receding pandemic began. It wouldn't be so odd if it weren't for the fact that things now are so much better than they've ever been before. Most humans in most existences have not known. We are freer, richer, safer, cleaner, and easier. Yet somehow, endlessly problematic and anxiety-inducing. We are now richer, safer, cleaner, and life is easier than most humans have ever experienced. And yet what we're hearing from the media all the time, from whatever sources, we are hearing that things are in terrible state and we should worry and be anxious all the time. Now, that's an American writing, but it's not much different north of the border. We are, as Christians, to be people of peace. We are not to seek our help only in the store down the road that sells something, or the doctor who will give us something. We are to be people of peace because we know the God of peace. One important character quality of Christians. When Paul in one book, in the book of Galatians, lists 9 character qualities, he lists peace as one of them. In fact, peace is mentioned in 2 of the benedictions. We'll focus on 1 today. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23-24. And there we read, peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Peace to the brothers and sisters in the church. And then again, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, we read, now may the Lord of peace, the phrase God of peace appears five times in the New Testament, and we saw it 2 weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 13. But in this verse, it's speaking probably of Jesus rather than God the Father. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way or in every circumstance or in every situation. In every way, the Lord be with all of you. That's Paul's prayer as he ends this letter to a first century church. And the question we'd ask is that possible? Is it possible to care deeply about our government or about our province, about our schools, about our family, about our church? Is it possible to care deeply and yet live with peace? And the Bible tells us yes. For it commands us to be people of love and yet calls us also to be people of peace. So we look at this, we remember that peace in the Roman Empire, that would have been a word that was used much like we use the word peace, often. We speak about peace. Wouldn't it be good to see peace come to Ukraine? What do we mean? We mean if the shells would stop falling, if the dangerous drones would stop flying, if the tanks stopped moving, if suddenly there was a lack of conflict, there would be peace. And in the country of Yemen, they would pray the same and hope the same. And in other countries, peace, a lack of conflict. But in the Bible, the word means much more than that. Some of you know the Hebrew word shalom. For some of us, it's the only Hebrew word we know. It is a word common even used among Hebrew people today. Shalom, peace. But it didn't just mean lack of conflict. It spoke about much more than that. It was a deeper, richer word that spoke about relationship health and physical health and prosperity. And so often in the Old Testament, that's what it meant. May you prosper. May you be healthy. May you have good relationships. The New Testament takes the Old Testament meaning and puts it into the Greek word and gives the Greek word that same kind of meaning. Only in the New Testament, it doesn't emphasize so much financial prosperity as it emphasizes spiritual prosperity, that we would flourish, that we'd thrive in a walk with God, that our lives would be healthy and abundant because we know the God of peace. When it speaks about peace, the New Testament speaks about three relationship types of peace. It's a review for some of you, maybe new to others of you. First of all, it speaks about peace with God. Secondly, it speaks about the peace of God. And thirdly, it speaks about the peace with others. So with me, think about peace this morning. First of all, every Christian receives peace with God. Every Christian receives peace with God. This is how the Bible describes it. And would you read it with me from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 6, where Paul has talked about the fact that naturally we are enemies of God. Naturally, we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what we want to do. Naturally, we may ignore God. Naturally, we may talk to him only when we want something. But God wants us to be in a right relationship with him, and it comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul's been talking about that. Talked about our disorientation, our broken relationship with God in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, he begins to, by the end of chapter 3, and chapter 4 begins to talk about establishing a relationship with God. And then he takes these two verses and says it so powerfully. Read it out loud with me, would you please? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Notice the past term, past tense. We have been justified. We have peace with God. We have gained access by faith in which we now stand. It is a fact that if we have put our faith in God through Jesus Christ, if we have confessed our sin and our dependence on Him and are seeking to live in obedience with Him, entered into this kind of relationship with Him, then we have peace with God. Even at our worst moment, when we're feeling depressed or lonely or we have sinned and we're ashamed, we still have peace with God. He is our loving Father who still loves us. We never need to think, I wonder if God is angry with me now. I wonder if He still wants me now. Now, we've entered into a relationship that gives us peace with God forever. It's a wonderful certainty that every Christian should live with. That you, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God forever. Forever. Absolutely founded on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we remind ourselves, God is good. And all the time. That was not nearly as good as an African congregation, but that'll do for now. I came across an interesting story of a fellow who was Mexican and was crossing the border to get into the United States to find work. You know, that's been a problem for many, many years. And the U.S. has struggled with it, still struggles with it. How can we be generous? And yet, how can we get a hold of this whole situation? Anyways, a man called Alfredo Garza had been living the life of an illegal immigrant for over 35 years. He would cross the border because he could either not find a job or find jobs that paid so little it didn't support his family. So he would come across the border and become an illegal worker, probably in the state of Texas or state of Florida. And he would do that, and then he'd be caught by the border guards. And they would bus him back across the border to Mexico. And then, like thousands of others, he would sneak across the border again. And he'd find a job and make some money for his family's support. And then he'd be caught, and he would be sent back. That happened 4 times. He was found and sent back, and he thought this was going to keep on going. But one day, I don't know what caused the article, didn't say what clicked with him. One day, he thought to himself, you know what? I have some papers here. I should check to see what my relationship is, really. And so he went to an immigration lawyer, and he asked the lawyer, does this paper mean anything? Will this help me in any way? And the lawyer looked at his papers and said, well, yeah, in fact, this one indicates your father was born in the United States. He actually was a citizen. Therefore, you're a citizen. And it indicates he worked in the United States, so we know that he's a citizen. And suddenly, Michael's peace factor totally changed. Why? Because suddenly, he knew who he was. He knew his relationship to the government. He was a citizen, and he had proof of that. And so, he relaxed in this relationship because he knew who he was. And so it is with Christians. If we know who we are, then we will enjoy the peace of God. If we don't, then we're in trouble. Because we will sometimes, when we're depressed or lonely, we will struggle with it and we'll think, oh boy, you know, does God still love me? That shouldn't enter our minds. We are His children. We have peace with God. But secondly, and most important, is that every Christian can enjoy the peace of God. Every Christian receives the peace with God. Our relationship is solid for eternity. But not every Christian enjoys peace of God, and we should. This is what Jesus said to his apostles as he was talking to them about deep things in chapters 14, 15, 16 in the book of John. And he was getting them ready for his death. And so he says to them in verse 27 of John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Again, toward the end of those chapters, he says this to them. I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. excuse me, Jesus, you're giving us peace. Doesn't that mean that the road is going to be paved from now on? And Jesus says, no, in this world, you will have troubles. I was looking at it, I think it was just this morning or last night as I was reviewing my sermon, and I thought, I better check the word that is used there, in the world you will have trouble. And sure enough, the Greek word is translated in several different ways in the New Testament, including tribulation and persecution and trials. It is a Greek word that we use different English words to translate. So when Jesus says this, he says, in the world, you're going to have trials. And some of you would say, amen, I've had more than enough. You will have tribulation. You may be persecuted. That's going to happen. But I've overcome the world, and I will give you a peace that will take you through the worst of those difficulties. Every Christian can enjoy this peace that only God can give to us. So I ask you, are you enjoying it? Because it does take action on our part. Many times in the New Testament, I don't know how many, I'll guess maybe 6 or 7 of the New Testament letters start with greetings like grace and peace. I was reading some commentator and he said, well, in a greeting, peace is expressing the hope that you will experience the future as peace. But when we read it in a benediction, or when we read Jesus saying, I give you peace, it is being said to be effective now as well as in the future. The peace that Jesus gives is independent of circumstances. Hear me clearly. The peace that Jesus gives is independent of circumstances. Some of you have been Christians a long time. You know that. You've lost a loved one, and yet you've experienced amazing peace while you were crying, while you were hurting, while you were wounded. Some of you have gone through real difficulties with a relationship or finances, and yet you've known this deep inner peace because you were walking with God, trusting God, knowing that He is in control, knowing that He is good, knowing that He is all-powerful and all-loving. And therefore, with that certainty, not just in your head, but in your heart, you experience peace, even when you may have been mourning deeply. Peace. Jesus promises us peace. The Word of God challenges us to live with this peace. Peace of mind and heart that all of us should experience. David Parge was an Englishman, and I read about the fact that he was digging in a yard one time where they were working, and he came across something that looked dangerous. You know that in England, many, many bombs were dropped by the Nazi forces. And so he thought this might be something dangerous. He dug under it, he picked it up, and then he looked at it and he thought, this is a Second World War bomb, and it hasn't exploded, and I'm holding it. And as the article said, this terrified 40-year-old holding this bomb, somehow, I didn't describe how, he managed to hang on to it and reach into his pocket and call the cell phone. And he called the woman police operator and said, I'm holding what I think is a bomb from the Second World War, and it hasn't exploded, and I'm afraid it might. And the operator said, it's okay. Everything will be okay. And David said, I kept saying to her, you're not the one holding this bomb. And he was so afraid he was going to die that he gave to her, he said, would you please tell my wife and my children I love them, and gave them some last words. He's holding this bomb thinking, I'm in big trouble, and he held it for 4 hours waiting for the bomb squad to come. And then they looked at it and said, no, that's just part of a hydraulic suspension system from a car. 4 hours of terror, no peace. I wonder if your holding a bomb even this morning. And you have an irrational fear that God can't handle this. And your life is falling apart and life is terrible. And you need to take that bomb and just give it to God. That's what Christians are supposed to do. We are not called to worry. We are called to trust. We're not called to be terrified. No matter what the news is, no matter what may happen to the financial markets, no matter what the government may or may not do, no matter what's happening in relationships, whatever, we are to give this to God. And we are to experience His wonderful inner peace. Provided we are living a life that is ever more closer to Him. Provided we're reading the Word of God regularly and living in obedience to Him. We're getting to know God, and it becomes easier and easier to trust somebody you know. I remember I really wrestled with that when I was falling in love with Jan. I had to learn to trust her. And the more I trusted her, I got to know her, the more I trusted her. Now I would trust her with anything because I know her so well. The more you get to know God, the more it's so easy to trust Him and believe in His goodness and His greatness and His love. And therefore, no matter how rough the ocean is on top, you're underneath in the arms of God. Is that your experience? Why aren't you experiencing that? The love and the peace of God. I thought of it yesterday at a funeral. Good friend of mine, great Christian and a great surgeon, died. And as I looked across, I was only participating by opening prayer in that. So I sat for quite a while just noticing out of my eye the widow and two children who were in mourning. And I just thought, thank you, God, that they walk deeply with You, just like her husband and like their dad. And so I know they are at peace, even though they're experiencing all that pain. Some of you know that. You've experienced that, both the pain, but also the peace that you can have even as your life seems to be falling apart. This is what the Word of God says in a verse that we all ought to know. Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. And if you've never memorized it, I'd encourage you to memorize it. So good to be able to repeat it to yourself, remind yourself, but read it with me, and I'm going to interrupt you several times, okay? But let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything. Hold it right there. That's awkward, right? I remember I was leading a camp many, many decades ago when I was young, and we were memorizing that verse as campers were to be memorizing it. One young guy's going by, and he had a more modern translation. Instead of being anxious, he's walking by, and I heard him say, don't worry about anything. Wow, that even hurts more because it's so easy to worry, easy to be anxious. But that's what God's saying. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, so let's start this again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Stop there. Why with thanksgiving? Because we need to get oriented to who God is. So it's one thing for me just to say, God, help me, and I'm still worrying. God, please help me, I'm still worrying. But if I stop and say, thank You, God, for what I read in the Bible of how You helped Daniel and Abraham and David and Peter and Paul and Ruth, and thank You. How I've heard other brothers and sisters talk about how You've helped them through crisis. And if you've been a Christian for quite a while, thank You that You got me through that and that. And so as I thank God, I get reoriented to the fact that He's good and trustworthy. And so Paul says, make sure when you bring your prayer and petition that you also remind yourself and remind God that you are so thankful of who He is. One more time. Let's read it through all the way. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One more comment on that verse. Guard is a military term. He's willing to guard. Help guard your heart so you will understand a peace that is beyond understanding. Now the third, and really the one I want to underline the most, because I think that's where it comes from in this benediction. So we want peace. We receive peace with God when we trust in Jesus. We experience the peace of God as we trust Him from day to day, bringing our prayers and our thanksgiving to Him. But now thirdly, every Christian should be a peacemaker. Hear what Paul writes in this benediction, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times, in every way or every situation, in every circumstance. He's been talking about a church that's been persecuted. And when a church is persecuted, it's likely to be divided. Some people are going to stop acknowledging Jesus as Lord and they leave the church. He's writing to a church that also had had some false teachers come by traveling. They didn't have the Bible in front of them. They didn't have the New Testament and yet written. And so they didn't have this they could go to. And so they were really very vulnerable to false teachers. And so some false teachers had come, and Paul had been warning them about that. Don't get divided by that false teaching. And then he's just been talking in chapter 3. If you read there, verses about 10 verses before this benediction, he is telling them, now take care of those people who are spiritually lazy or lazy spiritual. They were so enhanced with the coming of Jesus, the promise that He would come. They thought He might come every day. Therefore, I shouldn't work. I should just pray and talk about Jesus and try to get some manuscripts from the Old Testament and read what the Old Testament promises are, and then pray some more and talk about Jesus. And, oh, could you please invite me over for dinner? I haven't had time to earn any money today. And, you know, my house is falling apart. Could you give me some money to fix it? So they weren't doing what God had made them to do, work for their own living. And Paul has pretty tough words. You read that 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, this is almost an exact quote, if they won't work, don't let them eat. And that's going to divide a church pretty quickly. He's saying, no, you don't have to stay unified all the time. If somebody's being blatantly wrong, speak to them, challenge them, exhort them. If somebody's being blatantly sinful, no, you can't stay unified with them. But other than that, may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times. You are to work at that. You are to keep peace. You are to be peacemakers. Except if biblical truth is involved. Major biblical truth. If you deny the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't know how we can be united with you in a church. We can be friends out there, but it divides us. If you don't believe in the authority of the Word of God, that's a foundation for us. So that's going to divide us. If you don't believe people need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, these are major things. But if we believe these major things together, then we are to be united. It's a wonderful saying. I think it comes from the 4th century. A writer and theologian back then, translated, of course, this is written in Latin, translated for us, said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. What a great slogan. Maybe you've seen that before. Maybe you don't remember it. I grew up in churches that seemed to be really committed to the truth, but unfortunately, they disagree over some small thing, and then some people would leave. And so it planted a lot of different churches, but sadly, because of division rather than unity. Of course, Christians must stand for Christ and for truth. And it can be costly. Jesus warned about that in the Gospels at least several times. In fact, He even at one point said, I have come for division, meaning it's going to divide those who reject Me from those who follow Me. So in that sense, division will come. Sadly, right now, some of our Christian brothers and sisters are in prison. Some of them have been denied a job. Some of them are ostracized in their village. They're divided because of their faith in Christ. But apart from that, we Christians are to work at unity. In essentials, we are to be united. And then in all other things, we are to give freedom to disagree. Like COVID, when we masked or we stayed unmasked, when we respected what the government said or we totally disagreed with what the government said. That is not to divide Christians. We are to be forgiving people. We are to be patient people. We are to recognize that just as I make mistakes and I sometimes think wrong things, so are you likely to do that. And because we are called to love, we are to be peacemakers. Are you? Are you? I've been shocked to meet Christians who have been anything but peacemakers over things that have nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with Scripture. We're not to be anxious, and we're not to be peace disruptors. We are to be peacemakers. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, those eight blesseds that are found in Matthew 5, boat number 6, is blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. We are to be peacemakers. Let me ask you, do you have peace with God? If you don't, it's probably because either you don't understand how good God is, and when you trusted in Jesus, He's your Father and He'll never, ever disown you, or you've been living in such disobedience, you've lost that peace with God. And you need to get back to living in obedience, and then you will enjoy affirming that He's your Father and Christ is your Savior. Why do you have no experience of the peace of God? Why do you worry so much? Is your slogan, why pray when I can worry? No. Why worry when you can pray? Are you learning that God is great enough to handle every problem and that present problems have nothing to do with the glorious future that we're facing? Are you experiencing the peace of God? Are you just too accustomed to worrying and being anxious about things? And you need to confess that as a sin to God. Jesus said, I leave you peace. The Word of God says, don't be anxious about anything. So to be a worrier is really going against what God commands us to. And why aren't you a peacemaker? Well, because I love a good argument. Well, then have it to yourself. Do you disrupt peace in your family or in the church? There are some people who just like to take the opposite to cause problems. We all have enough problems without that. But what we need to do is be good listeners. The Word of God tells us, be quick to hear. Can you fill in the rest? Okay. Be quick to hear, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Slow to anger. God wants us to be peacemakers. This is what Romans chapter 14, Paul's writing to people who are divided. This food is all taken to the temple and offered to idols. Then it's sold in the market. Can we eat it or should we not eat it? And they were really dividing about that. And Paul writes in Romans 14, 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. He doesn't just say, be peaceful. He says, make every effort. Now, I've found it hard sometimes to have peace with some people. I disagree with them on a number of things. But it's my job to make every effort to have peace. You say, yeah, but you don't live in my family. Well, you know what? They probably find you annoying at times too. Make peace. You find some people annoying in the church? Well, yes, and probably they're annoyed with you somewhat. We are to be peacemakers. To listen and to love. Why? Because we're at peace with God. And God has given us peace that keeps us from being bottled up with anxiety and worry. Again, Romans chapter 12, 18. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that covers at home, neighborhood, church, job. Are you one who people can see? Your life is at peace. And you bring peace wherever you go. For as we have been told in the benediction today, the prayer is that we would have peace at all times, in all circumstances, enjoying the peace of God and being peacemakers. Praise God. Praise God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can enjoy the peace of God every hour, every day in our daily living. And we are challenged to be peacemakers because we live not only with God, but for God. If you have trouble in this area, if you're troubled today, I'd love to pray with you after the service, because this is a character quality that we are all to have. And this is a character quality that God wants to help you grow in. And so, Father, we thank you for this benediction. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord of peace. Father, that you are the God of peace, and that you give us help with regard to peace through the Holy Spirit. And we ask for us, as was asked for those early Christians, that we might enjoy your peace at all times and in every circumstance, today and tomorrow and whatever the future brings. May we be people of peace who worship the God of peace. Amen.